All right. Well, I don't know how much I'm going to get out, but let's just get started. The two keynote scriptures we've been talking about with kingdom principles in this particular area that we've been looking into is seed time and harvest. So let me just read these two scriptures to you. They're from, and if you didn't get them, write them down somewhere. Remember, anytime you come to church, have a notebook and a pen. Write this stuff down. Because like we said with the four hearers, you know, of when they sowed the word, the one that had, you know, just had it come in one ear, not the other, was the one who lost it because the birds came along and ate it. It's the seed that fell along the wayside. But in Mark chapter 4 and verse 26 through 29, and he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and he should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, yet he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." In Luke chapter 8, the companion scripture that goes with this, Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 5 through 15, it says, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, yielded a crop of 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' Of course, then his disciples asked him, saying, 'What does this parable mean?' And he said, 'To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God.'" So this is a mystery. This is a special thing that God has hidden for us, not something he's hidden from us. Okay? He's telling you the kingdom of God works on the principle of seed, time, and harvest. Just like God told Noah after he got out of the ark after the flood, he said seed, time, and harvest never going to stop. Long as the earth endures. So he says, "To you has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to the rest is given in parables, as seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Don't forget that. The seed is the word of God. Say that with me. The seed is the word of God. Because your mind will separate the two out if you're not careful. Okay? "And those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and they have no root, who believe for a while, and in a time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they've heard, go out and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life, bringing no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble heart and a good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." So we understand the principles. Number one, if there's no seed, there's no harvest. Okay? One of the great level playing fields of the kingdom of God that makes us all equal in the eyes of God. I don't care if you've been saved 50 years, gone to Bible school. I don't care if you're the Pope or some pauper. Makes no, never mind. Everything, 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 as far as how we connect with God, is the same in every believer, and that's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is believing as real fact that which is not revealed to your five physical senses. Okay? Just like you know, sun's coming up in the east. You have that confidence. Why? Because you've seen it again and again and again and again and again and again. But if you know that you know that you know that God's word will work on whoever steps out on it, that faith moves the hand of God. That faith is what brings the things from the spirit realm and transitions it into the natural realm that you and I get to walk around in, okay? So our faith is our responsibility, okay? But no seed, no harvest. In other words, if you don't have something that you have planted in your, and what's the seed? Come on, somebody tell me. What is the seed? The Word of God. So if you're not doing anything with the Word of God, you're not going to get very far in the kingdom of God. That's the level playing field, okay? The Word works for everybody equally, but you got to have the faith, okay? So when you understand that, you understand that God just doesn't necessarily do something instantaneous in your life. Poof, there it is, or poof, there's that. Because if it happened like that, somebody else prayed it into your life. Right? 2/3 of the people that Jesus touched and were healed because he said, your faith has made you whole. 1/3 of them got healed because of the special operation of the gifts of healings that Jesus was operating on, like the guy at the pool of Bethesda who was a whiner. Nobody takes me down and puts me in the water. Somebody always jumps in front of me. And he healed him. Guy had no faith, zero, ditto, nada, nothing, honey. And he got healed anyway. So the instantaneous stuff, get that out of your mind, okay? Because too many Christians feel, well, if God wants to bring it to me, he'll bring it to me. And those are the ones that almost always never receive diddly squat from God in their personal walk with him. How'd you get saved? Did God just come along and drop some magic fairy dust on you? And all of a sudden, I feel like I'm a Jesus person. No, you had to believe with your heart and confess with your mouth. Right? And the greatest miracle you will ever experience took place because you did those two things. You did those two things. God, through the Jesus Christ, says, all right, for God so loved the whole doggone world, even you, that he gave his only begotten son. So we know that God set this thing up so that if we'll just simply reach out, we'll receive what God's already promised. He does his part by taking his hand, reaching down to you, and then you take your hand, reach out, and there, that's your faith right here. That's reaching out to his grace right here, and the transfer takes place, okay? But it's seed time and harvest, all right? So the issues of the kingdom come together when the word of God and the condition of a person's heart interact, okay? What's going on the inside of you? What kind of quality do you have? How many of you know people that call themselves Christians, but if Christianity was against the law, there would not be enough evidence to convict them? I knew a couple that was renting a house trailer. And whoever had it before them, they looked down at the back door, the door going out of the back bedroom, and there was, it looked like a doorstop. And one day she was sweeping things out, and she swept over it, and it was a Bible. The only thing to use that Bible for was a doorstop. Isn't that amazing? Can you be a Christian and never open your Bible? You can't be much of a Christian. Because if it's real, it's going to draw you to it. Amen? See, God is responsible for the promises that are in his word. In other words, if I stand on the promises of God, it's his responsibility to bring it to pass. It's his responsibility to apply the power of heaven, the resurrection power, through that word, through that seed that I have planted and have grabbed a hold of and I'm not letting go of. His responsibility to make it happen. My responsibility is for what's going on in my heart during that time. I've seen so many people take the word of God, take the seed and plant it, and then turn around and say something and basically just dig the seed back up again. Oh, Lord, no, I didn't mean that. And then they go ahead and they plant it back down again. Next thing you know, they dig it back up again because they're flip-flopping. They're double-minded. The Bible says, don't you think that person's going to get anything from the Lord? He's unstable. Either it is or it isn't. Either you will or you won't. It's just that simple. If God said it, can you believe it? Can you look at an impossible situation and kind of get a little half grin on your face? I mean, one's got you by the tail. One that if God doesn't come through, you're in trouble. Can you, in a situation like that, get that little half silly grin and go, man, this is going to be fun to see how God's going to turn this thing around? Or are you going to go, oh, God, please, 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 please. Because that don't work. I don't care if you get every prayer warrior from here to India and back again praying for you, you're getting nothing because you believe more in the ability of the devil to whip you than you are the God's ability to bless you because it's all true by what's coming out of your mouth. You can have what you say. Oh, I'm dying. Well, there you go. Oh, I'm broke. There you are. See, we call things, the Bible says faith calls those things to be not as though they were, where faith just calls them things as they see it. See the difference? Doubt will mess you up. God's responsible for the promises, and we're responsible for the quality of what the soil of our heart that will nurture the word until it bears fruit. It's not all one side. It's not all God's going to do it. Well, he's sovereign, you know. Yeah, he's sovereign to it, but he holds himself to his word. And it isn't all you. Well, you word faith people, you talk about it like it's my responsibility and my faith gets strong enough. And if it didn't happen, it's because my faith wasn't strong. Well, you're going to blame God? Or are you just going to pretend and say, well, he didn't really mean it. He said it and I didn't understand it. So it becomes no-fault religion. It didn't work out and it's not my fault and it's not God's fault. Because if it's my fault, I feel bad. And if I feel bad, that's got to be wrong because nobody ought to feel bad. Isn't that like what we got now in our society where everybody gets a participation trophy? There are no losers. Well, that ain't true in real life, so why are you teaching your kid that? But so many people have gotten to that point where now they got safe places where they got their crayons in college, you know. Back in my day, they ride it and burn things down. Now, these new guys, they just go off in the corner and color with their crayons. Yeah. So, the word works whether you know how to use it or not. The word works all by itself. It has the power built into it, okay? You don't have to worry about that part. You just got to make sure it has a good, safe home where it can do what it's got to do. It's like an acorn has a DNA in it to produce an 80-foot-tall oak tree. You do not have to tell that acorn how to do it. In fact, the acorn already sees itself as a mighty oak tree. I mean, if anybody's ever had a small dog, anybody ever had a small dog? You cannot convince that small dog it's a small dog. It's like the thing I read on Facebook one time. It says, dog says, we once were wolves, roaming wild and free. And then we saw you had couches. You have to be serious about on how it works within your heart if you want it to bear fruit. And by that, I mean the promises become manifested. It's not just what God said is going to happen. It's what you have in your hot little hand at the end of the day. Amen? I can remember us believing God with all of our heart to get out of the building that we were in 7 blocks down the road. Had parking only on one side of the street. Had a driveway you could put 3-4 cars in. That was it. We started the church there. Neighbors were upset because we made too much noise on Sunday morning. You know. We had to keep the windows shut. Run our air conditioner. Sound like a thrashing machine. One of them big old honking window units, you know. I mean, this is ridiculous. What are you doing at home anyway? Get your butt out and go to church. Make some noise there. But anyway, we had nothing. It was cheap enough. We got started. The house that we lived in and the church was $500 together. That was awesome. But we were believing God. Oh, were we believing. My wife and I, we drive past the church and goes, honey, look at the parking lot they've got. We had no parking lot. One side of the street parking only. We were so poor we couldn't afford to pay attention. And we looked at parking lots. Oh. See? But then God turns around, and out of the blue, clear sky, before our 2-year anniversary, so you don't give up on it. It's a process, right? How many ever planted a garden? Unless you're raising mushrooms, you ain't going to get a crop tomorrow. Just saying. I know it's getting into that mushroom season, so guys are getting a little itchy about getting out into the woods. But anyway. It takes a while. It's a process. So about, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks before our 2-year anniversary in August, so it would have been on the early part of July, I get a phone call. Lady pastor says, we need to talk. She had her church right here in this building. Had been here for over 20 years. Took it as a warehouse, converted it into the church. Didn't look as pretty as it does now. It's pretty rough. So we went out to eat after church service, and she's telling me, God told me to shut it down and give everything to you. We were happy to pay the light bill where we were at. Suddenly, we got $250,000 worth of real estate and personal property. three pieces of real estate. This one, the house next door, and there was 9.5 acres of bare ground between the old Dancing Bears and the skate ranch. Boom. But it was a process. But we had a seed in the ground. We kept speaking life over it. We had no clue how God was going to pull it off. All we knew is that he was going to do it honestly. It was okay. We wouldn't have any trouble with the law. We got the whole everything, $250,000 worth of stuff for a dollar. Why? Because God's word works. Because we planted the seed and we didn't give up on it. Amen? You cannot be dishonoring the word by not studying it out on your own. If all you get is what I'm sharing with you on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, it ain't going to work. I'm just telling you. You're too wimpy. You know? I've seen some people's cars. Bless their heart. When they open up the door and everything falls out of it. I mean, because it's piled up so high, I don't know where they're putting their feet when they're driving down the road. They open it up and everything kind of falls out. And you look in there and, my Lord, you could probably have a garden from all the dirt that's in the car. That's the kind of soil you have if you don't read the Bible for yourself. God can't plant a good seed in there. You can't expect to get any kind of harvest. You might get a weed jump up or something like that. But that's about it. So you have to tend your garden. It's a process that takes faith and patience. The Bible says by faith and patience, you'll inherit the promises. So you got to tend your garden. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, Paul saying that I planted. Talking about the people in Corinth, the people that got saved. He got there first. He told everybody about the resurrected Savior. He got enough people going where the church was starting to grow. And Apollos was another guy who came along. It was another fantastic teacher, very eloquent, very persuasive. Comes along and says, I planted, but Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So you got to tend the garden. And one of the ways you tend it is, like it says in Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Or you could say faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. Because you ain't going to get it the first time around. You're not going to get it the 10th time around. Oh, you may get a little sliver here or there. Go, yeah, I got it now. That's good. Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet. You got to stay hungry for the word. It got to the point with me when I was reading. So I read a lot of books. Always have over the last 25 years. But I got into this bad habit, and God just kind of arrested me in the middle of it, where I was reading along, and I'd see a scripture. I know that scripture. I just, you know, go blow it and keep reading. And it's like, wait a minute, that was the most important thing on the page. And who says are you the know-it-all? I can remember reading that one time. God says, so you really think you know that scripture, huh? You know, he starts speaking on the inside of you. And I'm like, a little bit, Lord. Conviction comes all over you, you know. I know it a little bit, Lord. He goes, better get back here and read that then. Now to read, he goes, read it again. Now to read it again, he goes, now read it again slowly. I mean, it takes you forever to read a book if you got to do that, especially the books I read got scriptures all the way through it. But I'm telling you what, man, suddenly those promises, suddenly those principles start to kick in and you start seeing things you didn't see before. It's so powerful. So you got to get all the scripture. If you want this faith thing, or if you want the seed that's planted to produce the harvest you need, I don't care if it's a financial miracle. I don't know if it's a healing miracle. I don't know what it is that you have need of. You, first of all, got to go to the Word of God. Now, if that's intimidating to you, I got good news for you. Right here. This is called the Power Pack, God's Power Pack. Wendy makes up a bunch of them. How many pages in this sucker? Look how many pages, man. 62 pages plus. I like this one. This is in the first part here. It's in the flyleaf. It says, I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of his. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. I can't read this without getting to the, you know. Get past that first paragraph, man. I'm stepping on the gas. But let's say you want something on healing. See, what this is a topical reference in the Word of God. So the Bible says that Apollos watered. What did he water it with? With the Word of God. In other words, the soil needs to be watered in the natural just like it does in the spiritual. The Word is the seed, but the more Word you keep putting in there, the easier it is, because the water doesn't really strengthen the plant as much. It does to some degree. You need to have water flowing through the plant. It's a living thing. But the thing that really makes it kick in on that seed in particular is that when the soil is wet, all the nutrients can be transferred into the seed. The nutrients that are already in the soil, it unlocks it. So let's say you want to look up something on healing. I need to be blessed. I need more finances. Okay? That's a big thing. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. The curse is that, you're going to have the second death if you don't know Jesus. Then there's sickness and there's poverty. Those are the curses that are in the law in Deuteronomy 28. That's what devil beats a snot out of. More Christians dwell out than anything else. Well, let's say you want to have this. Well, let me just take you over to page 7. So page 7 through page 13. Look at here. From page 7 to page 13 are the scriptures written out on a computer so you can read them. If I write it by hand, you got to read tongues. One scripture after another scripture after another scripture after another scripture after I got 5 pages. After another scripture, after another scripture, after another. So you can go, well, I'll come up to people and they say, well, I really need to be, I'm believing God for my healing. I said, so what word are you standing on? They don't like it when you ask them that. But we're a word faith church. That means that you got to start with a word and you got to have faith in that word. God says, I watch over my word to perform it. My word will not return unto me void. It will accomplish what I sent it to do. So what did Jesus do? He kept speaking the word, and it kept happening. He was our model, right? So if we do what he does, we'll get what he got. So what if you had all these scriptures? There must be 100 scriptures on healing. You don't even have to go looking for them. But if you meditate on this word, like he told Joshua, then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you have good success, whatever it is you're believing God for. But if it's all on healing, I got it right here. This is free. Free. The best 4-letter word I know. It's back there on the hotspot on the information booth countertop. If you don't have one, make sure you get one. Because this is all about taking care of the word that's being planted, the promises that you're standing on. What happens if you had 100 scriptures to back that up? Two things are going to happen. It's going to activate that seed to become a little old shoot that comes up. And then it's going to be, like it says there when we read Mark, you're going to have the stalk and then you're going to have the leaf. Next thing you know, you're going to have the fruit on the leaf. A whole lot quicker if you're continually speaking the word of God concerning that promise. When people say, well, I don't know. They sit there look at you funny. I say, well, what scripture are you standing on? By his stripes I was healed. That's an easy one. People remember that one. It's very short. It's like shortest scripture in the New Testament. Jesus wept. Well, you memorized a verse of scripture. God bless you. But if you got all this stuff in there and it's all working on the inside of your, first of all, what's it just doing to the soil of your heart? Oh, buddy, it's getting rich. It's like when I had my garden. Several times I went out. There's the guy that had the funeral home in Brunson, Colts. He has this hobby farm about halfway down Madison Lake Road between M86 and downtown Brunson. And he put this thing in there for composted manure. In other words, just old manure. Because new manure will burn the roots on plants. So anyway, I got out there with my handy dandy trailer. And for $10... he would load it till the tires popped, or you said whoa, whichever occurred first. So I went out there, and buddy, I know that my trailer will haul 3,000 pounds of weight because I had it scaled out at a gravel pit one time. I went out and got some stuff, and I'm watching how the tires are getting squishy, and I'm going, okay, that's good, because the guy's got that massive loader, So I had it full that much based on the squatty tires. So then I come all the way back home. truck riding like a fine European touring sedan with all that manure and holding the rear end down, you know. You pull out in front of me, you may live to regret it. But anyway, I'll get back home, and I got two strapping grandsons, you know, and I'll pay them to shovel the poop. Put it all over the garden and little plops everywhere, you know. Get out there with a bag of lime, you know, and put that out there. Sometimes I'll go out to the city, and I'll get a whole bunch of composted leaves, and it's almost like super rich topsoil with crap in it. So anyway, pop bottle caps, candy wrappers, who cares? There's times I just put 2 inches of that over the top. Other years, I'll just poop the garden. Because the soil needs to have nutrients to make the plants grow, right? See, the soil of your heart is enhanced by the power of God's Word. Now, you reading it is good, because you're not going to get very far unless you do. But here's the other thing. How many ever wondered why God created lightning? Was it to scare sinners? Is it a weather abnormality? You know, you talk to the weather guys and they give you all the gobbledygook of scientific why it happens. But if God created everything and he created it good, why did God create lightning? One of the little mysteries most people don't realize is that when lightning storms take place, it does something incredible to the soil when there's a lightning strike around certain areas, you know. You'll see the crops, the farmers' crops, will grow a foot because of the lightning. I mean, it won't be instantaneous, but it is accelerated. Because that lightning will release the nitrates that are in the soil to an even greater degree. When it comes to the Word of God, because the natural is a type of the supernatural, you want to have lightning taking that nutrients of the Word of God that you've been feasting on, and have it suddenly go on the inside of your spirit? You need to be around anointed teachers and preachers. Yeah. Brother Justin and I, Friday, we went up to Flint. They were having a minister's conference up there. Buddy, that was some solid lightning, wasn't it?
It was.
Mama! They had just under 150 people there. I talked to Jerry yesterday about that. Yeah. But the anointed speakers that they had there, when they got up to share what God had given them, it's like on the inside of you, bombs are going off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Revelation knowledge, grace deposits, truth impartations is supercharging the conditions of the soil of your heart. And you begin to see things you otherwise wouldn't have seen. That's why God gave the fivefold ministry gifts, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints. One translation says for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That's about taking the word and doing something with it, right? Because we don't want to have Christianity that's a spectator sport, because that's what it's become to a whole lot of people. We come, sit, listen, and go. No, it's about, what are the dreams? Y'all got a dream? What you want your life to be like in 5 years from now? How are you going to get from where you are to where you want to be? If it's a God dream, that's obvious. You ain't going to get there without his help. But if you want his help, you got to do things his way. You know, it's funny, farming is getting to be a real scientific business now. Incredibly scientific. Neighbor, a friend of mine, he sells fertilizer by the boxcar loads just from his house, all over the country. He's an old guy. He's in his late 60s now, and he does everything off the internet. And he's got people in California, Arizona, New Mexico, Coldwater, Branch County, every county in Michigan. He never touches this stuff. He just has to kind of wash his hands after he's done with the keyboard. Makes it an incredibly good living. But one of the things he likes to do, because he's really into the technological side of things, every farmer that has a planter has a GPS tied to a computer on it. Oh, yeah. Every combine has a thing that tells him how much harvest you're getting off of that section of the field, and it's related to a GPS section in a computer. So you can sit back and you can say, in this great big old field over here, man, it was kicking butt. We were getting twice as much as what we were getting over here. It's not homogeneous, okay? It's not all the same all over the field. So what Bill likes to do is he goes out and he's got this little four-wheeler, you know, and it's got a little gizmo on the side that he made that takes a battery drill and goes down and does a core sample into the ground. And then he takes that soil and it's in this paper bag and he rates the GPS coordinate on that particular farmer's field. Goes and does another here, all over the field. Sends them in to get them analyzed. Comes back and gives the farmer the conditions of the soil in every part of that field so that he can plug it into his planter, the computer in his tractor when he's got the planter hooked up to it. And the planter also has a fertilizer gizmo that goes with it. So on this side of the field, I'm squirting a little more. Fertilizer's very expensive. You think gas is expensive. Fertilizer's insane. I knew a guy that farmed 2,000 acres, and it cost him $250,000 to put his crop in the ground, to plant the seed. 2,000 acres, $250,000 was spent. And that didn't include the cost of the tractor, combine, anything else. No, it didn't cost of the equipment, taxes on the property. It's just what he had to pull out of his pocket to buy the seed and the fertilizer and everything else, you know, chemicals. Sometimes you put a herbicide down to keep the weeds from doing it. $250,000. So you don't want to get sloppy with that stuff. And when you come through the planter, the GPS, when you're coming around like there's a telephone pole, Cody, pretend you're a telephone pole, come up this far, well, the thing will shut off. Those two planter deals, and you go past that, and boom, farm doesn't have to do nothing. Computer does it all. So when he comes back around and he's going to overlap one, it shuts off so that you don't put two seeds in a row where you only needed one. Now, if they got to get that smart, because there's rules that make it work and rules that means you're going to lose it, shouldn't we be the same thing with the Word of God? Understand what God's saying. He's not making it difficult, but he is very specific. And if it isn't working, number one, check and see if it's your patience getting a little short. Or number two, go back and say, okay, am I doing everything I'm supposed to do? Did I miss something in there? I knew a guy that went out and planted his first crop of winter wheat, but he forgot to turn the spigot on the trailer that had the liquid nitrogen that was behind the planter, which is supposed to give it that when it first gets planted. Nitrogen, plants get real happy. They grow real fast. In fact, if you do that around a new tree that you planted, you put some nitrogen down, the tree will grow so fast it'll split the bark going up the side of the trunk of the tree. You know, kind of like the Incredible Hulk when he gets big and his shirt starts falling apart. It's what it does. So you got to know what you're doing, but God wants you to be confident. God wants you to know. That's why he lays everything out in the Word of God. And I want you to have the blessings of the harvest, 30, 60, and 100-fold. God does not play favorites where he goes, well, that person needs it more than you, so I'm giving it to them and not to you. No, it doesn't work that way. If you're walking by faith, not by sight, if you're doing what God's called you to do, it's okay to say you missed it, right? I don't tell you to get into any kind of guilt tripping on that. But if God said do it this way, then you know what? I'm going to do it that way. I remember I was working, let me close with this. I was working on this gal's car. Well, Diane goes to our church. She had an old Honda Civic, and she let her son borrow it, and he rode it hard until it just up and frigging died. It needed everything. So I got in there, and I started working on it. And one of the things it needed was the front axles on the thing. Got them little CV joints that you turn your wheel too far, it goes clickety, click, 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 because it's about ready to fall off because the boot got tore and all the grease fell out. So I'm looking at it, never done one before, going, how hard can it be? I'm an old guy. You just go do it, right? Well, I was messing with it, and I seem to remember my son did this deal on the internet. Of course, he did it on his phone going, how do you change the drive shaft on an 02 Honda Civic. Here's the YouTube video. Designed for the criminally ignorant. Good old boy, shade tree, garage, you know. And I'd already taken the tire off and a couple other things, and I kind of got to scratching my head, and that's when it kind of come to me. So I flipped that thing on, and I'm like, whoa, I didn't have to take that apart. I didn't have to do that over there either. Holy crap, what holds this thing together anyway? Baling wire and bubble gum, I swear, them Hondas are just held together with glue. And good luck. You know? Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. But anyway. So I looked at that, and man, I was done in a half an hour. I'm talking both sides. Already had it up in the air, so hey, you know. Why not just say, I'm not so sure. I think it works this way, but it's not working. So your lightning fast brain should say, you know what, maybe I'm not quite doing this right. God's very specific. So if you do it his way, if you want what God wants for the same reason God wants you to have it, he'll get it to you. But you got to do, you can only bake the cake a certain way, okay? So be humble enough to say, I don't know. Come see me. I'll help you any way that I can. Always go to the guy who doesn't know what they're doing. Like that video. I'm sure that clown that finally put that video on, other than wanting to have it go viral, he's got a YFL Vira. Now I'm viral on the internet. I'm sure the first time he did it, he didn't know Sikkim from Khmer. Maybe he had to call up Billy Bob and find out how he did it. Well, you know, you get that big hammer, because that's what it took to get this stupid thing apart. A big old hammer. Actually, two of them where he went, bam, and the whole thing went, boom, boom. But anyway, because there's no real bottom ball joint on the thing. It's a joke. But anyway, so ask somebody who's already screwed it up two or three times and finally figured it out. You can't live long enough to learn from all your mistakes if the only way you learn is by making a mistake. Find out how somebody else learned through and then get into it, okay? Let's make this thing work, because the Word of God works. And God wants you to be an active co-laborer with Him. Seed time and harvest, it's a kingdom principle. That means the kingdom is built on it, man. And it'll work for anybody who says, I'm going to find out how to do it, and I'm not going to quit till I do. Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you tonight. Your word's so good. So good. Help us to see, Lord, what we're staring right at, but we don't see it. Help us to know, Lord, how all this is supposed to work. Because we want to do this for your glory. It isn't about us getting all we want and canning all everything we get. Lord, it's about you, your kingdom, your glory, your honor. We just thank you, Lord, that the grace is there, but show us how to take your word and work it, because we want to be just like you. And if it was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus, we want it, because it's already ours. Show us how to possess that which you've already given to us, Lord, and we'll pursue it till we get it. And we just thank you, Lord, for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So if you got to call Billy Bob, call Billy Bob. If he's messed it up 27 times and finally figured it out, you don't have to mess it up for 27 times, right? God is good.